have vivid memories of the elementary school Scholastic Book Fair?
Yeah.
Isn't that such a funny thing? Like, there's a whole... I don't know when the Scholastic
Book Fair
started.
I guess my memory is of the middle school book fair. The first thing that popped in my head was middle school book fair. I can't picture it. An elementary school.
Like the Jefferson Library.
Mm-hmm. I can picture that very clearly.
All set up in there. Your class goes in like one class at a time,
yeah,
kind of deal. Okay. Tell me if this doesn't strike home. I was talking about this with a friend the other day and I was like, oh man, I got to ask Thomas about this. That there were like a few kids that rolled into book fair with like $25. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh man, are you joking me? Like, do you remember this? Is that like a phenomenon for your age as well?
The thing I remember, there was always like 1 4-foot section of like awesome trinkets and books that included,
yeah,
items and stuff like that. And it was like...
Included in the trinkets, by the way, are those little gummy like little pencil grips.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And and those big fatty erasers, yeah, you pop
like
on the end.
Scented erasers and stuff like that. Like there was just like a section where it was like, man, that's where I want to go.
Yeah.
Like, but,
or just like the poster section. Like there was always like, for me it was in the '90s. It was like, you know, early '90s. And so it was like, there was always like a million Michael Jordan posters. Yeah. Cause why not, man?
Yeah. You have to.
I mean, he was like, that was like in the prime,
yeah,
you know, when I was in middle school and elementary school, it was like Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. My mom always pre-chose my books for me.
Cause what?
They'd give you, at least when I was in school, you'd get like a checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
like,
give you the checklist.
And she would pick like 2 or 3. And
was she
like,
would.
So that's what I would do. Like I didn't get cash to go pick books I wanted to read. It was like,
whoa.
But I think I got some input on what I got.
She would pre-write a check.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Becky Cox, big check writer. Cash or check. No.
I just remember, I remember getting that little, kind of newsprint 2-ply, preview of the Scholastic Book Fair as well. And I would make my wish list.
Mm.
And I feel like my mom would give me like $3. And that's how I rolled up into book fair.
That was definitely like a, oh crap, forgot his book fair. How much cash do I have in my purse? Type of,
yeah,
deal.
One of them is really crinkled up.
Yeah.
One of them has scotch tape on the edge that's
yeah,
ripped.
Yeah.
And like, I was hoping to walk out. I wanted a Jordan poster. I wanted the pencil grips. But I also like vividly remember this like Ninja Turtles from like the cartoon TV show. Like a Ninja Turtles coloring book that I like really, really, really wanted.
Mm, that's cool.
But I had to go with the pencil grips, man.
I always like, which like looking back on myself, I just missed this door somewhere. I don't know why, this exit ramp. I don't know how, but I always ended up with like reptile books and amphibian books and stuff like that. Like, and it's like, I just missed that somewhere. Like, I think I was too embarrassed to admit that I loved that type of stuff. Like, mm-hmm, if you went in my childhood room, you would find a lot of books about types of snakes and,
yeah,
amphibians and birds and all that stuff, fish. And like, if you ask my wife, which we have YouTube TV, so it's literally like, we haven't had like, I haven't had like live TV since who knows when. Like, yeah.
You Why can, would you?
Yeah. It's yeah. been forever. I think we had it in college, but it still wasn't a thing. We just, you could do like a pre-record every episode of something, and we always had every King of the Hill just like locked down. Yeah. That's like the one impression that I can kind of do. But if you ask my wife, if she were to walk in the living room and I'm watching TV, it's Animal Planet something.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, the Disney Channel, Disney Plus has like those Wild Congo or Wild Rwanda, and it's like gorillas and chimpanzees, and like,
yeah,
I don't know how I missed that exit ramp in my life. It was like obvious that I really liked animals and plants.
You were supposed to turn into Steve Irwin,
I guess. Crikey.
I do remember,
I think his birthday was yesterday.
That makes sense. I do vividly, vividly remember, now that we were in this conversation, which I haven't thought about this in so many years, that I got home with a book from the Scholastic Book Fair that was this little book about the, like the 12 greatest football players playing in the NFL. which you're like, yeah, that makes sense that Lee would get that book. Dad's a football coach, surrounded by football kind of thing. But I remember being super disappointed because I thought the book was The Greatest Football Plays. Ooh. And I thought it was like a book outlining why these plays are great. Mm. And I never read it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Gosh, that made me like, that gave me like a little bit of an anxiety attack right there. Mm. Like stuff like that when I was a kid. You know, like someone said something the other day about he didn't call it a landmark moment. What did he call it? Remember when we were in our little meeting the other day?
Yeah.
But one of those things for me was like, I think sometime when I was a kid, I was split into the wrong group of things. And when they called out the role, my name wasn't on there.
Yeah.
And I remember even to this day, like if there's a list of names being read off, like if I'm supposed to go see if I'm included on a list.
Yeah.
I have like a little nervous moment. Like, is my name not going to be on here? Did I go to the wrong place? Am I about to be? Yeah. Like, isn't that funny?
That is funny.
So the idea of like, I thought it was this book, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Well, for me, I just chucked it on the floor and never picked it up.
Yeah. You had way more confidence than me.
That was that was where my mom's $3 went. Welcome to Ancient and New. I bet most of the folks that are listening to this remember the Scholastic Book Fair. I wonder what kind of kid you were. Were you the kid that rolled in there with $40? Or are you the kid that your mom pre-picked all your books and wrote an exact check?
That's me.
We're going to talk about some scripture. We're both going to talk about Psalm 39 today. And by the way, we want to give a special shout out to our buddy Miguel Estrada, who's listening from Madrid.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, for him, it's right now. For us, it's right now. But it's a different time.
I don't really know what you're trying to say.
Like, our podcast has the ability to time travel. We're recording it right now.
Yeah, I guess.
But he's going to listen to it later. But when he listens to it, it will be right now for him.
Won't it be like Friday when he listens to it?
Maybe. But like also,
it comes out on Friday for him and Thursday for the rest of the world.
Yeah, because even he is time traveling from us being 6 hours ahead of us. Wow. That's trippy.
I can't really put it together, but
Miguel is a really great dude, and we love him a lot. And he is also like this expert like woodworker.
Yeah,
he has an Instagram page where he's like making things out of wood.
Really cool. Like bowls, pins and bowls.
Yeah, he's got a lathe. It's just really cool guy. Estrada Woodcraft?
I think so.
Psalm 39. This is a David psalm. It's going to take a second for this one to get going, but then it's got a lot of really cool stuff. So hang with. I said, is that like criticizing David's songwriting?
I was just a little bit like, you just claim some scripture. It takes a while to get going.
It takes a minute to get to the meat to me. Love you, David. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth, without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me that I may enjoy life again before I depart and am no more. Okay, some heavy stuff. Where do you alight first?
It was earlier than you, probably.
I did like it. I wasn't saying it wasn't good.
No, I was just messing with you.
You're like, I think it picked right up.
No, it really was probably where you were saying that it jumps right in, which is verse 4, I think. But Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. That's such a bold ask of someone to say to God, like, show me when this thing ends. And then I started to put the pieces together and I'm like, I don't know what that would do for me personally to know, like, okay, here's your end date. This is when you expire. Like, this is when it's over. And I don't know what it would do, but I'm like squinting and wondering if it would just give you like a different urgency about your life and give you a different urgency about your spiritual life. I think it would change the way, like, I think it can be easy for me especially to think like, all right, I'll get another one tomorrow. That day wasn't that awesome. You know, like that,
yeah,
that time with, you know, my quiet time wasn't great. Like, and then eventually it's like, oh, it's been 3 or 4 days in a row where it's like, huh, I just didn't really piece anything together spiritually those days. Like it just felt bland. I don't feel like I did anything to really serve Jesus in any way. You know, like, I think that's possible. And I think if you're in this situation and you're like, hey, give me some type of notice of how fleeting my life is. Help me to understand that. I think that changes the way you think about that altogether. Yeah. That's not me saying like, there's not going to be times where you just feel dry spiritually. Like, that just happens. It's going to happen, I think. And you can work your butt off and it still happens. You can try all kinds of books and, you know, bounce around in the scriptures and it still feels like, okay, I'm just missing the Lord right now. I don't know what it is, but it is me saying like, I think in those times it would give me a different sense of urgency about it. And I think it would give me a different sense of urgency about every interaction I have during the day. What is, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to slip in like one of those fake $1 million bills that has, you know, like John 3:16 on it to everyone I talk to. But like, I think I would look at people differently. I think I would.
No, I think that's right.
I think I would. I would. I wouldn't just glance over people, especially who I see every day. I wouldn't think, okay, that person in my office who like annoys the heck out of me. Like, that's just who they are in my life. They're just an annoying person who I have to talk to a few times a day. Like, I think it would change my perspective on a lot of things.
Well, I love the word urgency and I'm going to attach to that a little bit because you all right?
My knees are sore. Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't realize I made that noise out.
I'm going to attach onto the word urgency because I really like that. And I think that's the thing that these verses are doing in me as well. And, I think one of the implications of one of David's points here is like, if you see a couple things the wrong way around, it's going to mess up the way you see everything.
Yeah.
So like one of those things is people basically assume they're just going to live forever. And people assume that the money they have here is a really important thing. And that's kind of two of the themes of this psalm is like, you're not going to live forever and your money means nothing. Like you could do some cool things with it. That would be great. But like somebody else is going to get it. You don't take it with you.
Yeah.
You don't last forever and you don't take anything with you. I think those are two humongous things that like, if those ideas, if those concepts are present in my mind, it is going to completely alter the way I do today. And, as you're saying, like, there's a thing that happens in when you are confronted with actual death, you don't have the you don't have the same ability to be annoyed. And I realize like annoyance, that's not a big deal. I think it is a huge deal. And I think it's a huge deal in me. It's something that like, it's just something that I'm seeing a lot in myself that I want the Lord to work on. And I'm hoping he does. But like, I mean, you know this, but people that are listening to this don't know this, but we, Christy and I and our family, we just got back from a funeral of a very dear niece. And, you know, anytime you go, anytime somebody passes, it's sad. And anytime it's somebody that you love, it's super sad. But to lose somebody who's young is a terrible tragedy. And like to walk with parents who are burying their child is like, it's just unspeakable. I mean, it's like, you know, I could just break down for 30 minutes about this whole thing. I'm just going to keep talking through it. But like it, the, one of the things that this weekend and walking through and still being in the middle of all that grief is doing for me is like, it's like things that I would normally be annoyed by are precious, and days that you don't know that you're going to have all of a sudden are flooded with meaning and possibility and hopefully the chance to enjoy it and to live it and to love it. And like, you know, it's like, I don't know when my life's end is going to be, but I like David's heart here of like, show me that it's fleeting. They're but a handbreadth, which is just like, that means like the distance between the end of your thumb to the end of your little pinky finger. It's like, that's my life is quick. It's short. And like, I don't get to keep any of my stuff. So what do I do with that information? And it's like, oh man, soak it up, make it precious, make it huge. There was this thing at the beginning of this psalm, which I said, it takes a minute to get going. And then I realized like, oh no, there's some really important stuff here where he says, I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent. And like, I realized like, oh man, that was huge for me because I have a hard time around certain people because basically they don't have the ability to shut up about like toxic political stuff that just brings arguments between people and just like crazy stuff, like crazy political stuff. And one thing that was like really, really sweet about a moment where everybody was grieving is nobody ran their mouth about that stupid stuff. And it's like, sometimes it's everything within me to like stay silent when people are being so unkind and crazy about political stuff. And in the midst of someone so precious and so sweet being like actually gone, it was like, everybody just shut up. Yeah. Everybody like, hey, there's something bigger going on here, which is like, life is short. Yeah. And like, you don't take anything with you. And like, she's really gone. Mm-hmm. And like, everybody be quiet, you know? And there's like that kind of hurt brings in a focus of a reality that it's like, I need to live in this. And as exactly where you started, it's going to change the way I see other people in my life. Maybe I'll be less annoyed. Maybe I'll pray for them more. Maybe I'm just going to have a little more verve and punch in the way that I enjoy things or the way that I live or the way that I laugh or the way that I interact.
Yeah. I think I've talked about this on here before, but there's a few movies that kind of center around that idea. Mm-hmm. Just like really, and I think there's probably a lot, but I think there's a few in particular that just like move me every time I watch them. And one's About Time, you know, just like,
yes,
the idea of enjoying every moment that you get.
Gosh, there's a line at the end of that movie and I'm trying to remember exactly what it is.
It's been a while. I think at that point Maddie and I were just crying so hard each watching it. We were so caught off guard by it. I was like, yeah, we'll watch this movie.
Yeah.
And it's such a good practice. I think the happiest people and the most joyful people and the best people to be around are the ones who really enjoy their time that they're given.
Yeah. I found it, by the way.
Sure.
So this is, well, you were copiously weeping, but this is what he said. We're all traveling through time together every day of our lives. All we can do is do our best to relish this remarkable ride. Gosh. I mean, when the last time I watched that movie, I like hit the 10 second back button like four times on that. And it's like where his daughter is going into her like elementary school. And then she keeps coming out to wave at him one more time. And he just keeps laughing and waving at her. And then she'll go in and she'll come back out. And he says, the best we can do is to do our best to relish this remarkable ride. but you have to have perspective in order to do that, as you're saying.
Yeah, I like that. I think like what I was trying to drive home is like those are the best people to be around. Those are the most fun people to be around, who just, it's like they're carefree, they're worry free, they're. It's just because all they can think about is, and it's not even that, I don't think. I think that would put me in that category if I could get my head around, like, I'm just going to enjoy every second I'm in, every room I walk into, every breath I breathe. Like, I walked outside this morning to let the dog out.
Yeah.
And my first thought is, it's about to rain. And then I looked up and there's stars, like it was perfectly clear, and now it's beautifully sunny outside. And it was just the smell. I thought, like, something's funny. And I think it was spring a little bit.
This
smells different today. It's coming, like spring's coming. And I just was like, oh, that's nice. That's really nice. And I think, like, I would love that attitude every room I walked into. Like, oh, that's nice. It smells different in here. It feels different. Whatever the thing is, it's just the attitude I'm hoping that I can.
Okay. That attitude is a beautiful word. It's a vision adjustment. It's like
adjustment. That's cool.
What David's asking for is he's asking for
a new prescription. Just a different way of seeing things.
Yeah. Like, okay, this is funny, but like, so, we had to take Jack in for an eye appointment, and he's only 12. His eyes are garbage. And like,
same, bro.
So he had to get a new prescription or whatever. So he got a new pair of glasses, picked his frames. He was talking about how he didn't like his old frames, but then when he picked his new ones, they looked almost exactly like the old ones. And Christy was like, what gives? Anyway. So, it turns out that the new frames are just a little bit bigger. And when he wears his like gaming headset, they hurt his head. So, but his old glasses don't hurt his head at all with his gaming headset. That whole thing to say, like, whenever we play video games together, he's wearing his old glasses. And he was like telling me, bro, come over here. Like, I got this item for you. Like, you need to come pick it up in this video game. And I got there and I was like, that's not what you said it was. He was like, yeah, it is. And I was like, no, it's not. And he was like, oh, I can't see. it's like your eyes are garbage, dude. You need the new glasses. Yeah. You don't need, those old ones are not serving you anymore. And to walk into a room, there was this thing that my sister-in-law, Patty, my sister-in-law Patty lost her daughter Abby last week, and like she was given her eulogy for her daughter, and it was I was telling Tom, it may be the best speech I've ever heard any human being give on any subject ever. And like, you know, like we read speeches for a living, like sermons and stuff like that. But anyway, she was talking about how some people would look at Abby, my niece, her daughter, who had a lot of special needs and just required a lot of help and attention, and for 17 years. And like, she was like, some people would look at Abby and just think like, it's inconvenient. And like, what is her quality of life and stuff like that. And it was like painful stuff that Patty was saying, that people think about children with special needs or people with special needs. And she said this amazing thing. She said, every medication I ever gave her, and every time that we put her in the lift to take her to bathe her, or to load her into her wheelchair, or to change her, or to anything, all of the things, every therapy, every doctor's appointment, everything. She said it was all a precious privilege. Hmm. And like, that phrase was so stunning to me, that like something that someone would see as like, why, or somebody else would see as inconvenient or annoying or just difficult, that her mother would say, no, it was, every moment was a precious privilege. And may we have our vision corrected in that way. May God give me a view of the end of my life and the worthlessness of wealth. Right. And so that I can walk exactly as you're saying, walk into every room, into every conversation, into every meeting with every person, and to view it as a precious privilege that I'm alive. And there's a person for whom Jesus died in front of my face, and they are excessively important. And this time I'm not ever going to get it back. Today is the day that I'm living. May we have our vision changed so that we can see it as a precious privilege.
Yeah, that's sweet. It was a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good thought.
Psalm 39.
Yeah.
It's good. And I will say it jumps right off. Although we all know it really picks up in verse 4.
For Austin and White LeDoux.
That's exactly right. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a week off last week. We love y'all.
Yes.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Take a walk on the bright side and try to be kind. I hope that you'll find me there, breathing the air in. Give a little what you want the most, and try not to boast. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there, breathing the air in. And when you're beaten down and looking around for something to hold on to, and what you want the most is someone to hold you and feel your heart beating, just take a walk on the wild side. Ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there.